Two commandments that our Lord tells the Pharisees, they almost sound like they're Twitter, now X post, you know, little short snippets, you know, they're meant to be brief, concise, you know, simple. And they really kind of sound like that. And they could fit within these Twitter posts. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These short, concise statements, though they aren't made up of a lot of words and they don't use big, grand language, have a great depth to them. When we really dig into what our Lord is commanding us to love God with your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, there's a great depth there to dig into, to really plumb. But there's also a great challenge to live those commandments. You know, let's look at the depth of how deeply are we to love God? How deeply are we to put our love in Him, put our trust in Him? He says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We are to love Him with everything we are, every fiber of our being, to the depths of our souls. We are to love God. We are to put Him above everything, even ourselves. We are to put God even before ourselves, our desires, our wants. Love Him with everything that we are. We are to truly desire salvation with Him, eternity with Him in heaven, above anything else, anyone else. He should be our first focus. And of course, the salvation that He promises us is something we should desire. It's freedom from sin. No longer be caught in the cycle of sin, the depths of sin, but instead be embraced, enter into the depths of His embrace, His love. It's being freed from this fallen world that so often drags us down. Instead, being lifted up by Him. So we are to love Him with our entire being. We are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, if we love ourselves so much we want salvation, we put God first, we love Him with all our whole heart, soul, and being, we must share that love with our neighbor. We have to desire the salvation that we want for ourselves. We have to desire that for them. We have to lead others to Him. I always kind of joke that our jobs here on earth is to get to heaven and to drag as many people behind us as we can. We should desire to get as many people to heaven as possible. That's how we truly love others as we love ourselves. That we desire that they enter into the eternal life in heaven. That's why we're called to do the works of mercy, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, because they point us to Him and they lead others to Him. You know, these are works that we have a mission to accomplish. As a church, we have a mission. Now, when we think of a mission, you know, a work that is a mission, I think the easiest thing we think of is the military. The military mission, the mission that this unit has to undertake, or that we as the military organization undertakes. You know, and each unit has its purpose within that mission. Regardless of what that mission might be, each unit has its part to play. And each member of that mission, of that unit, has its part to play in ensuring that the mission is successful. And when the members of the unit are working together, the unit's mission is accomplished. When the units are working together, the military's mission is accomplished. But if there's strife, if there's division within the unit, division within the military, the mission will fail. Well, in the same way, the church has a mission. In fact, that's part of the reason why the church here on earth is known commonly as the church triumph or church militant, the church with a mission. You know, it's not militant as in military, but militant as in a mission, having a mission. And we each have our part to play in that mission. That mission, of course, is evangelization, is bringing the good news of the gospel to the world, loving our neighbors so much that we proclaim the good news to them. I love the story. This was years ago, but many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the comedians and magicians Penn and Teller. And Penn Jillette, the tall one who talks, he is famously a staunch atheist. And someone asked him about it, and in kind of an Ask Me podcast, you know, where people would send in questions and he'd answer them, and asked him about it, and, has he had people talk to him about the gospel message? And he said that he hadn't, or he's had people talk about it, but then he kind of went on to reflect that, you know, if you believe in this salvation, you believe that there is a God who loves us so much that he offers us this great gift of salvation, how much you must hate me as an atheist to not offer it to me. How much must we hate people if we're not willing to offer the gift of salvation to them? If we truly love them, we are going to go out and share this good news. We are going to go out and do our mission that we are sent. Now, it's interesting, we talk about coming to Mass. You know, we use the term Mass for what in the larger church is commonly referred to as the Divine Liturgy, the Eucharist. So we come to Mass on Sunday. We come to Mass on Holy Days of Obligation or Daily Mass. The word Mass comes from the Latin missio, to be sent. Of course, what other word comes from the Latin missio, mission. So when we come to Mass, we of course come to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, to hear the scriptures, to hear the proclamation of the gospel and so on. But at the end, the priest says, go forth, the Mass is ended. The missio is ended. The sending is ended. We are being sent to go forth and proclaim the good news of the gospel. There's another ending that was added with the new translations of the Mass back, I guess not so new anymore, they're 12 years old. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. And when that ending, of course, we're saying thanks be to God. You know, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are going to announce the gospel of the Lord. Of course, that thanks be to God at the end of Mass is always the loudest. Go forth, the Mass is ended. Thanks be to God. We get out of here. But it really is. Thanks be to God. We have been sent. So our mission as Christians is to come to Mass, to receive our Lord, to be fed by him, and then to go and be sent to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And to see what that looks like, we need to look at the apostles, especially St. Paul. You know, St. Paul, after his conversion, it was like turning on a light switch. I mean, he went from 0 to 60 in no time flat. I mean, it was just go. He went and he proclaimed. And he had a lot of trouble for it. I can't remember which of his letters, but one of his letters, he actually has a list of all the things that happened to him where he was shipwrecked and he was arrested and they threw stones at him to kill him and. And what did he do? He got right back up and kept going. He even converted some of his jailers. Things like that. Do we have that boldness? Do we have that kind of boldness to go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel? And yes, we might get the virtual stones thrown at us. Hopefully we won't get the real stones thrown at us. But we still need to be willing to go. Go out and proclaim the good news. And I firmly believe as we as Christians took this gospel mission seriously, we would change the world for God. We would absolutely change the world. And the reason why the world isn't changing for God is because we're not out there doing that. So we have this mission to love God above all things with all our soul, all our heart, and all our being, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to go out and proclaim the good news. Will we hear that call to this mission and go out and proclaim as we are called to do?